Saddle up your horses.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. You know, kind of a weird thing has happened these last 3 or 4 weeks. About a day before I'm ready to do the program, I'm looking over my material and I think, I don't really have enough for an hour program. And I don't want to just do filler. I would rather reduce the program to a half an hour than to have a half hour of meaningful stuff and a half hour of filler. And then something weird happens. It fills in. There's stuff that just needs to be passed on. And goodness, I could talk about the stock market, about which I don't really know that much, but and how it's going through this tailspin with all the tariffs and stuff like that. But you know what? I'm just kind of spouting off. It's conjecture, right? It's speculative. I'm not in a position to know exactly what's happening or what is going to happen. No, I don't like to talk about that stuff. If I can't speak with some authority, I need to just be quiet. So what happened? Well, there's some things that happened that caused this week to fill up. And I'm going to be spending some time on some issues we never ever talk about, but I think they are more important than ever. The statistics that I'm reading, I have to bring some things to the table, to the microphone. So let's roll. I got a couple of things I want to share right off the top, and then we're going to get down to our topic. Two things regarding the nation of Israel. I am thrilled that Netanyahu says that they plan to occupy 25% of Gaza. This is actually brilliant. They should never have given it up. Gaza was always part of that, which you cannot read the boundaries that God set forth for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and find a way that Gaza was not part of it. It's the land of the Philistines. And they never should have given it back. And of course, the October 7th, 2023 attack, as atrocious as what it was, it had to be really bad in order for Israel to have a justification for going back in there. Anything less would have looked like they reneged on the deal. But they have a legitimate reason to go back in. And now they're not handing over the rest of the hostages. So they said, well, we're going to occupy a portion of the northern section here. We're going to do that. We're about 25% until we get these hostages back. And then we are going to see what we have to do to maintain our security. And hopefully they aren't so foolish to do that again. They won't be under the pressure of Barack Hussein Obama to turn it back over to the these wild folks. I mean, I don't know what else to call them. Well, I do, but I just can't use it on the air. So I think that's good news. And then following right up on that, the International Criminal Court out of The Hague, in my opinion, has never had any jurisdiction over anybody. And if somebody subscribes to their jurisdiction, then a subsequent administration should be able to just exit. Sort of like the Paris Climate Accords, right? We can, if you got Obama or Biden in it, they're in it. We got Trump in there, they're out of it. We pull in, we pull out. Too bad, so sad. We're a sovereign country. We're going to do what we want to do. So the ICC, in my opinion, has no jurisdiction. They have a worldwide arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, first of all, Israel never subscribed to the authority of the court to begin with, so they have no authority. But as certain nations emerge that also don't want to be part of that because they have befriended Israel, those nations, I mean, we are... an ally of Israel, but we have not pulled out of the International Criminal Court thing. Not yet. Trump has to do that yet. But who has? Who just did? My favorite European country. and it isn't even close. Hungry. Not coincidentally, this is amazing. Of all the European countries, I don't have clients really from any of them. I had one client from France, a couple from England, but I have a number of clients in Hungary. And my affinity for the country has nothing to do with the fact that I have some very nice clients that are Hungarians. I have it to do with Viktor Orban, who is sort of the Donald Trump, a more mild-mannered Donald Trump of Eastern Europe. They pulled out. They pulled out of the International Criminal Court because, you know what, we're not going to just suck up to you guys here and then turn on Israel. I love this picture of Orban and Netanyahu shaking hands, smiling at each other. They're friends. And we covered what Hungary had done last week about outlawing LGBTQ, RSTUVWXYZ parades, organizational events, anything that could lure and corrupt the minds of innocent children. All banned. Too bad, so sad. You're queers, you're going to have to go to England or France or someplace else. No, you can't go to France, you can't go to England because there are too many Muslims there, and they'll take your head off and maybe other body parts. No, you'll have to find a more accommodating country, maybe like Germany. Well, take South Africa. South Africa was going to pull out too until it realized that it could be a stooge and a shill for the UN against Israel. The black community in South Africa hates the Jews. They hate Israel. Fact. Can't spin it any other way. So they decided to stay in because they have a chance now to bash Israel. And with the support of the ICC and the UN and all that stuff. Okay, and speaking of Germany, this is interesting. Germany being overrun by Muslims, right? About every third rape person's first name is Muhammad. The serious crime in Germany is off the charts. Rapes are up 9.5% in 1 year, almost 10% in 1 year. And who is doing the raping? I mean, is it because the Islamic girls have veils and you don't really know what they look like, so you got to take somebody who can actually see who it is that you're going to be raping? I'm not really sure how that works, but anyway. And the amount of crime that's being committed by children is unbelievable. It's up 13.5% in 1 year. Kids. And who's having all the kids? The Muslims, the immigrants, the ones from wherever. They're the ones that got multiple wives and a gazillion kids. That's the only population growth Germany has. And they're putting up with it, and they can't deal with it, and they're trying to say that the number of non-German suspects are up. Well, it's up a lot more than just non-German because there are a lot. What does Germany consider German? Anyone who has a passport. A German passport in addition to citizenship. If they're citizens, they're Germans. If they're not citizens, but they have a passport, they're considered Germans. So when they talk about the crime is rising disproportionately among non-Germans, it's a little bit misleading. It is, but they're only citing illegals. There are a lot of legal immigrants that have green cards that are part of the crimes being committed, of which they are most notably rapes. You may want to be careful where you go if you're going to Germany. In fact, the alternative party in Germany, which is considered to be too right-wing. Yeah, you can't be too far right for the most part. They've got these cases of documented of gang rapes. They had 155 suspects for this gang rape identified. 71 of those were German citizens, which could still be Islamic, keep in mind. Known migrants already thought responsible for over half of the attacks, the statistics reveal. But the disparity becomes even more clear when the four names, which can be released in line with German privacy laws, show and make it very clear that 70% of the suspects Germany are of foreign heritage. So maybe Mohammed Van Brockenstein Okay? It's still Muhammad. We know. They said here, the state's AFD faction says adding those known migrants to German citizens with what it describes so obviously are not German heritage forenames suggests that 70% of suspects are of foreign heritage. 70! A separate analysis of the same data by German newspaper Der Welt, I think I pronounced that right, states that even when counting out all doubtful name cases such as Jason or Luca, they still find that 78% of suspects are in all probability of a migrant background. There you go. Real smart, Germany. Just let in everybody that wants to ruin the country. So there you go. Well, one other quick thing here. I think it's just time to declare Democrats as domestic terrorists. Whether they are spray-painting churches, whether they are attacking pro-life centers, whether they're burning Teslas, or whether, as of this last week, there was an arson in New Mexico, the Republican Party headquarters in Albuquerque. Clearly arson, spray-painting ICE equals KKK on the side. They are into domestic terrorism, and nobody will call it out. The media cannot give any accolades to anybody that's on the conservative side. They won't blame anybody that's on their side. So how much press did Elon Musk get in SpaceX for going and rescuing the two people stranded in space for the last 8 months, which Boeing screwed up? Virtually none. Doesn't matter how great and how noble Musk's contribution was to go up and retrieve these people who were stranded. We simply cannot give any time or press coverage, certainly not favorable press coverage, to anybody associated with Donald Trump. And as a point of just how screwed up the left is, maybe evidenced more by the state of California than anything else, we have California has a ballot initiative that's named after the United Healthcare CEO murderer, Luigi Mangione. That's right. A proposed healthcare ballot initiative in California has been named after Luigi Mangione, the man accused of killing United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. So California is going to have a ballot named after a murderer. And Pam Bondi, the attorney general, is seeking the death penalty. Now, I don't know how I could share any other way of showing the degree of divide between the right and the left. When on the left, which sits far left in this country over in California, I've been there a lot lately, doing work. In fact, I saw an F. Trump sign over there a couple weeks ago on a building, no less. But when you have a ballot initiative named in honor of a cold-blooded killer, and you have the attorney general seeking the death penalty, how? I don't think I could conjure up a contrast as great as this to reveal just how significant the divide is in this country between left and right and wrong and right. Same thing, huh? Wow. Okay, now on to the topic of today. I don't know what to call this program. Maybe you are what you eat. But there's so many things to cover. But this thing has just reached me in a way I am seeing tangibly people suffering around me for reasons they can't identify, and we've only got a couple of possibilities. They are a late COVID shot effect in total or in part, or the food or something or vaccine, something that we have been taking and consuming and using and being injected with are killing us and debilitating the American people at a rate almost just hard to believe. I'm going to start with something dealing with heart disease, and it deals with our teenagers. That the American Heart Association is showing an incredible and what they call an alarming trend in cardiovascular health among young adults age 18 to 25. 18 to 25. Come on, I was immortal, or at least I thought I was at that age. I thought I was going to die once from an overreaction to a shot dealing with an allergy I had. But still, I thought I was basically immortal. Most kids do at that age. Now, how many of these are heart issues that relate to the vaccine? I think it is considerable. And the American Heart Association will not even touch on that subject. They don't have the guts to touch on it. But they've gone to other things by which to identify the health concern. They state that they have empirically verified, meaning proven, in their lingo, that young adults between 18 and 25 are experiencing heart-related risks at an unprecedented rates, especially because of factors such as obesity, increased tobacco use, and sedentary lifestyles. Continuing the quote here, cardiovascular disease remains the leading cause of death in the U.S. I get that. One of my parents died from that. And alarmingly, more young adults are experiencing their first major cardiac event, such as a heart attack or a stroke. I mean, kids 18 to 25 having heart attacks and strokes. Well, I saw this with great frequency, kids dropping on the basketball court, in the gymnasium, just collapsing dead, all of whom had had the vaccine, the killer COVID shot. But the statistics keep rolling forward. So I am going to take an issue here with American Heart Association because they don't bring up the COVID shots as having a factor in it. But these other issues are factors. I don't know if they're as much as they say they are because they're excluding one particularly salient one, being the vaccine shots. But they go on to say cardiovascular disease, and I'm quoting, remains the leading cause of death in the U.S., and alarmingly more young adults are experiencing their first major cardiac event, such as a heart attack or a stroke, due to early risk factors such as rising blood pressure, prediabetes, obesity, and high cholesterol. Next, they say that tobacco use among 18 to 23-year-olds has actually doubled in the last 20 years. Doubled. I thought it was going down. But I guess it's this vaping business and so forth that's a factor in that. I mean, I was too young to participate, but I sort of remember something about JFK having some fitness program he launched. It just popped in my head. President's National Physical Fitness Program for Kids. I mean, he was recognizing it 60-some years ago, right? That kids weren't getting enough exercise. Well, one in five young adults is now considered fat. Oh, they like to use the word obese to take away some of it. No, it's fat. That's the word I'm going to use. And they say, well, you're fat shaming. Well, then do something about it. Come on. You don't need to be 85 pounds overweight at 14 years old. 55% of all young adults are considered physically inactive. 55%. They state that children that are presently between ages 2 and 19 will be obese. Over half of them will be obese or fat by the time they reach 35. This is how serious this is. I mean, yeah, there needs, they went on to say here, and I'm going to quote this and then be done with this as we move on. But the author of this article stresses the importance of integrating heart health education into the experiences of young adults, focusing on factors such as lifestyle habits and the significance of social networks, end quote. Now, why I find this interesting is because if you go back, I don't know how many years you got to go back. I mean, when my kids were really, really young, like 10 and 8, the whole craze was not social networks because we didn't have them. But we did have video games. And we had TV. They watched a lot of TV. Kids, I mean, generally speaking, mine didn't. It was very limited as to what and when they could watch. But there were video games. And we had a Nintendo and, gosh, what was the first one? Atari. Yikes, that is dating me. Pong and whatever those games were back from like a earlier millennia. Anyway, and yeah, they did, but we limited that. And you could only play that game so long. I mean, how long can you play Pong? Seriously. But now they bring in something. It's sort of the new video games. It's social networking. That for hours, whether they're in their bed, they're on a bus, they're sitting on a blanket at the beach, they're all over their phones, checking them every 2 minutes for the latest text. I mean, there was some story I read the other day where some woman, a teacher, had sex and she was getting penalized for statutory rape or something like that because the boy was, I don't know, 14 years old. And they had something like 3,500 text messages. Seriously? That would be basically, what, 10 a day for the whole year? 10 a day, 10 every single day? And so I'm glad that they're focusing the fact that this, in addition to these other factors of obesity and bad diet, high cholesterol rating, which is a factor in this conclusion, but they're also bringing in the fact that here's the reason that they're just kind of sitting on their fannies and their fannies keep getting bigger is because they're just sitting doing social networking. Okay, well, I probably have ticked a lot of people off with this story, but it is what it is. We are probably one of the most unhealthy countries in the world. And we supposedly have the best care of what we're 6% of the population of the world. And we consume, if I'm remembering it correctly, something like 64% of all prescription medication is consumed by 6% of the world population, the United States. That's sick. That's sad. And so, moving along with this, you are what you eat. There is a factor, as you heard in this piece about the young adults, that relates to obesity. They're fat and they have high cholesterol. And what does that relate to? More diet than exercise. Because I know people that are my age, they're actually really very physically trim. They're not overweight. They don't have high cholesterol. They don't have those things. And they are not particularly physically active. They just deal with it with their diet. So are you what you eat? We've always heard that. You are what you eat. If you eat fat, do you become fat? If you eat bad stuff, does bad stuff have an impact? If you consume poison, do you become poisoned? Well, I think it's kind of a no-brainer. Maybe not an absolute direct line because it does relate to certain quantities of things. I like to consider the fact that, you know, Scripture says that if you shall take any deadly thing, and I think it's in Mark 16, you know, one of the signs of the disciples, promise from Jesus, it will not harm you. Well, I understand that. And that's why we pray over our food. Because there might be something bad in there we don't know about. God, sanctify this food. Cleanse it for us. But that's a different case than just simply chowing down on stuff that is bad for us, that we know or should know is bad for us, and then we eat it to excess. We're killing ourselves. And parents that feed this garbage, I understand the problem. You feed the garbage to the kids, it's garbage in, garbage out. You get what you pay for. I understand good food is expensive. Organic food is expensive. Non-GMO food costs more. It's cheaper to buy something with tons of sugar than tons of protein. I understand that. But I want to just say what my wife and I have done. Our kids are grown. They're up and gone. But we have decided, you know what? We're just not going to spend money on a bunch of things so we can increase and allocate more money to really good food. Can we just knock off some certain things? And I have to say, there's a little bit of sort of like somebody who's got a cigarette habit and they don't want to have it. They pray, God, will you deliver me from this habit? And I've heard these testimonies where they'll say, then there was a day came when all of a sudden I was around somebody who was smoking. And it wasn't my smoke, it was their smoke, but I about gagged. All of a sudden it was offensive. Now, I'm not a smoker. I didn't, other than for about 2 weeks in the Army at age 19, when cigarettes were 19 cents a pack, and I thought, my goodness, they're so cheap, I can't afford not to smoke at this price. Well, that would last over about 2 weeks. I hated it. And in my K rations, I would always get a pack of Chesterfields. But after that 2 weeks, I started trading those Chesterfields for somebody's potatoes or canned beans or lima beans. Nobody liked lima beans, and I love them, even though the stuff had been actually packed during the Korean War, so it had been sitting in a can for 20 years. I'm a bottom feeder, was then, sort of still am a little bit. I didn't care, but I traded my cigarettes for them. I can't eat these cigarettes. Who cares? But I understand the inevitability of families that are struggling financially to go for cheaper food, food that is not as healthy. And then once you realize how unhealthy it is, now you got to find a way to shift your responsibilities. Now, I did something last month as an experiment. I went to three restaurants, which I hadn't been to in a while. I went to Burger King, I went to Taco Bell, and to Panda Express. Well, I went the Burger King burger. I just say it left me flat. Well, it is flat. A burger is flat. I was like, there is no taste here other than probably MSG, monosodium glutamate. I couldn't stand it, and it was $8 for a burger at Burger King. I went to Taco Bell, and I thought, I've been praying about this. I'm not here to say Taco Bell's food is garbage. I'm going to tell you, to me, it tasted like garbage. And I said, never again. And then the one that really blew me away, how when I went into Panda Express, a restaurant I have liked for a long time, and I said, something is different. I talked to the manager, did you change the orange chicken recipe? And he said, yes, we did. We added more flavoring ingredients. More, whatever, MSG, I don't know what it is. We ought to make it hotter to titillate the taste buds. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
18 wheels and a dozen roses. 10 more miles on his 4-day run. A few more songs from the all-night radio. Then he'll spend the rest of his life with the one that he loves.
Thank you, Kathy Mattea, for a beautiful song. I haven't played that in a while. If you've seen the video, it's one reason I played it. The video starts out, they're at a diner, a truck stop diner. I understand it's not where you're going to get the best food, and maybe it comes down to salads or something. I am not sure. But all the food additives that are in the foods, basically to make them taste better, to get them hooked. Now, I am going to draw heavily from WorldNet Daily and starting with a piece from David Kapelian. And I'm likely not going to finish this, and I'll probably wrap it up next week. But I have said a couple of times, and after reading this magazine, what I said the last few weeks, I mean more than ever after reading this, and that is, it very well may be that the most important cabinet official selection that Donald Trump made was choosing RFK Jr. as a health education HHS cabinet member. And I get it. Yeah, he's against a bunch of vaccines. He's for certain vaccines. But the whole autism thing, we're going to get to some big topics here, but I'm going to launch with some statistics that should shock you. And I am to the point now where I am actually taking my glasses with me to the store to read the labels. I thought, is that what it's come down to? I really can't trust the food processors, the processed foods, the ultra-processed foods. Well, you're going to find out, if I can get to it today, why and how we got to where we are and how purposeful the creation of addiction in the area of food has become by American food companies. Things that aren't happening in China and India and even Europe, but that are happening here. Things that are outlawed in Europe that are okay here to go in our food. Well, David Kapelian, and I'm going to quote liberally from this. He's just a great writer for WorldNet Daily. But he talks about how America could become healthy again. And it's going to have to start at the top, and it's going to require some requirements and disclosures on food, sort of like those disclosure on cigarette packages. May be harmful. Maybe. Well, it is. I don't know if they ever changed it to definitely is from maybe. But I want to write what RFK Jr. here wrote. And he said, the U.S. is in the grip of a full-blown obesity epidemic with well over 200 million Americans. 200 million. There's only 350 million of us. So we're talking 60% of Americans, including millions of children, are overweight or obese. According to the CDC, over 40% of adults in the United States are clinically fat, clinically obese, which is a higher fat component of one's body than what we would normally consider before we'd call somebody overweight. This is beyond overweight to be clinically obese. That's 40% of the adults in the United States are clinically obese. In contrast, in the 1950s, where the clinically obese was 10%. Gone from 10% to 40% that are clinically fat. He said one out of every 36 children in the U.S. has been diagnosed with autism. This is up from 1 in 44 as recently as 2021. So it's gone from 1 in 44 in 2021 to 1 in 36 in 2024. And he said, in contrast, autism in the 1950s is the baseline, which was known, yet virtually non-existent. It existed, wasn't much of it. It affected less than a half of a percent. Get that, less than half of 1% of America born in the decades of the 50s and 60s. Next one here, early onset cancer cases rose or have risen over 80% in the last three decades. When I say, well, we got more people. Well, that's not, yeah, there are more cancer cases because you have more people. But this is the cancer, early onset cancer rate. So this is the amount of cancer cases per 100,000 people. So it's an objective number that has gone up 80% in three decades. A 2022 study reveals the evidence of early onset cancers, which includes breast cancer, colon, esophageal cancer, kidney cancer, liver, and pancreas cancer, has increased dramatically since 1990. That's 35 years ago. Now, he goes on with one other thing here. It says a staggering 38 million Americans, which is about one in every nine, now suffer from diabetes. And it's a number expected to increase to 55 million in the next 5 years. I mean, we're at 38 million Americans presently with diabetes. They anticipate it going from 38 million to 55 million in 5 years. I mean, that is a 50% increase in 5 years, basically 10% a year. Wow. During the late 50s, the prevalence of diabetes in the U.S. was estimated to be 9 cases per 1,000 people for a total of 1 million cases. Now, our population has increased significantly. It's probably tripled or at least doubled, but adjust that. So 1 million cases, let's make it now 2 million or 2.5 million cases and compare that to the 38 million we presently have. David goes on to write, he says, with the rapid growth of knowledge and technology, including medical technology, one might expect the exact opposite to be the case, that everyone's health would be improving. Yet Americans are becoming less and less healthy all the time, including, tragically, our children. Fully 50% of American children, 50%, are dealing with some sort of chronic health issue, up from less than 1% less than 50 years ago. This is incredible. It says, as deadly and traumatizing as the COVID-19 pandemic was, it did bring about a mass awakening in one important area. Americans discovered they absolutely could not trust government agencies tasked with safeguarding their health. How true that is. The government agents were a pack of liars, from Tony Fauci and the Faucinistas on down. You cannot trust the government agency. And we get down to the FDA, the Food Drug Administration. Who represents, they're there as a supposed protector of the public to regulate the food and the drugs that come out to make sure they're safe. Who sits on those boards? Everybody who used to work for food companies and drug companies. In other words, that which was designed to protect us are the ones who now advance that which hurts us. Those are my words, not Mr. Capellian's. But these are his. Health and Human Services, of which RFK Jr. is the head of now, he says, they have all lied to Americans, either explicitly or by willful suppression of the truth, from Fauci on down. We know that because he turned out to be, and I'm quoting now, a classic sociopath, smiling while lying about virtually everything, from mask wearing, where he initially admitted the truth that masks were ineffective, only later doing a full 180 and insisting on universal masking, even outdoors, to then imposing the 6-foot rule, and then later admitted that it was purely arbitrary, and then admitted that the 6-foot rule was based on zero science, to then perversely denying that natural immunity provided ideal protection against COVID-19, just as it does for other viruses, a pivotal and unconscionable lie that flung open the doors to ruthless vaccine mandates. So, if you have a Moderna, you got Pfizer, you got people who worked for them that are part of the FDA now, do you think they would tell you the truth about their own drugs that are killing some people? I mean, I've got to throw in something here. It's very personal. My mother-in-law, great woman, who passed away 20 years ago now. And she had these TIAs, these little mini strokes. And she went into the hospital and then went to a care facility to help her come out, kind of transition back. My wife, kind of smelling a rat somewhere in this process, asked for the list of medications. They had her on 17 medications. 17. And she just died in the facility that was designed to help bring her back to normal living. They killed her. I'm convinced of it. They killed her. My mother, who passed away before my mother-in-law, by about 6 or 7 years, had cardiovascular disease, but she died in the hospital from an injection of too much potassium. And she had a bunch. I did not count them. I didn't even have that thought to count them. But now I'm going to go back to what actually, I've shared this a few years ago, but a story from my very younger days that made me suspicious from the get-go of a lot of doctors, not all of them. I had some that were great. But the healthcare industry, in my opinion, is a perverted industry. And it's in an incestuous relationship with the drug makers. Why is it that when you go to the doctor, that they have all sorts of samples for you if you want them? Or they say, well, I can give you some of this. I can give you this. I can give you this kind of aspirin. I can give you Viagra. I can give you, go right on down the line. They got samples of everything. Check the portfolios of doctors and how many of them are heavily invested in drug companies. It's no longer the Hippocratic oath, it's the hypocritical oath that sadly a lot of doctors apparently have taken, which was manifested during the whole COVID garbage. So they didn't allow ivermectin, right? Why? Why did the Food and Drug Administration and Pfizer and Moderna all say, it's horse medicine, blah, 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 blah. You can't take that. It's for horses. Well, guess what? They took your stinking shots and died. But when you give the ivermectin to the horses live. What a concept. We know of a person who gets a big tube of ivermectin paste. He feels bad. He shoots a shot in his mouth. My wife couldn't get over COVID, but she took a thing of wormwood and something else, which I could remember, and she was better in 4 hours. I mean, miraculous. They don't want you healthy as long as they got their stinking vaccine to sell to the American people and bilk us out of tax dollars so that they can be the super billionaires and running some corrupt drug operation. And why don't you hear anything about this on TV? I'll tell you why. It's pretty simple. Whether it's ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, whether it is Fox News and maybe also Newsmax, which just tanked. I told everybody I'm not buying Newsmax, and I'm glad that I didn't. Why? Because the drug manufacturers are the major advertisers on the networks. Do you think the networks are going to call out the ones that are making their paychecks? Do you think that they're going to bite the hand that feeds them? Of course not. Well, Capellian goes on to say, well, why did they all lie, mocking and discouraging Americans from taking advantage of drugs whose safety was long acknowledged by the FDA, like ivermectin? Because it's been used for years. I got to interject something. We went to get ivermectin for my wife's horse the other day. It's now under lock and key at Tractor Supply. That's right. People are stealing it because they can't get it otherwise or are having to pay too much for it. I don't know what it is, but it's sought after now to the point that people are trying to hawk it. Okay, why do they all lie, mocking and discouraging Americans from taking advantage of those drugs whose safety was long acknowledged by the FDA and which could have saved many more lives and enormously reduced the suffering during the COVID pandemic? Question mark. That was a question. That's easy. They maniacally wanted apparently every man, woman, and child in America to take the jab, the experimental jab, the untested jab, the jab that actually caused a whole bunch of lab rats and mice to die. That was the only test they really had. Do you have results from testing this? Yes. Do they reveal it? No. Why? Because the subjects died. So Big Pharma has proven itself to be far more motivated by gargantuan profits than safeguarding human lives. That's a quote from David here. JFK said, Americans are being mass poisoned by Big Pharma and Big Food. We're going to get to the food later. Probably not today. He claims the federal agencies tasked with looking out for the public's interest not only have failed to stop the poisoning, but now have, and increasingly over the years, enabled it. The result, he says, is an unprecedented and worsening epidemic of chronic disease in the U.S. Obviously, Kennedy's not a fan of processed, sweetened, and chemicalized foods that tens of millions of us, me included, have consumed daily for most of our lives. I haven't thought about it. I think, how would a food manufacturer not have my best interests at heart? A few do. A few do. And we'll get to that maybe with some advice next week. But he says, it's easy to fix. We have 1,000 ingredients in our foods that are illegal in Italy and other countries in Europe. Why not just make them illegal here? He said, parents of newborn children are pressured to give their one-day-old baby a vaccine shot. I tell you, I got livid when I read this, but I've verified it. Start over. Parents of all newborn children are pressured to give their one-day-old baby a vaccine shot, protecting them from contracting hepatitis B, as in boy. That's right, hepatitis B, a disease that can only be transmitted by having sex or using an infected drug user's hypodermic needle. So I have to ask this rhetorical question. Just how many one-day-olds do you know that are druggies and are out having sex. Totally, utterly useless vaccine. If it doesn't do any good, why take it? If the only possibility is it can do bad, why take it? Then we have the other issues, which I understand the farmers have gotten caught up in this. Sadly, the big use of pesticides and herbicides like Roundup and the other farmers. I understand that. But and I don't want to make a big deal of this red dye number 3 because I can't speak authoritatively on it other than the fact that, well, let me just read it and you decide for yourself. Continuing with David's quote here, currently almost 3,000 foods Americans are eating are known to contain red dye number 3. It's also known, and I throw this in here in case you're reading labels like I am now, as erythrosine, E-R-Y-T-H-R-O-S-I-N-E, is now officially banned. Red dye number 3 is officially banned from all foods, all dietary supplements, and all medicines and food manufacturers. But they have until January of 2027 and drug manufacturers till 2028 to actually get the red out. In other words, apparently the FDA is saying, okay, you paid for apparently a huge supply of red dye number 3, and it's going to take you 2 to 3 years for you to use this up, and we don't want you to be economically harmed because we realize now that you may be poisoning people. And we, yes, and because we used to work for you before we became part of the FDA, we're going to give you 2 to 3 years to finish out your poisoning of the American people with red dye number 3, which is not allowed in these other countries. Wow. Well, this is so long overdue what RFK Jr. is wanting to do. The action from the FDA, I'm glad they're getting rid of it, but why it's they're giving them 2 to 3 years to do it. This is, I mean, it's in red dye number 3, it's in lipstick, it's in candy, it's in, I'm wondering if the beets that I buy, I think they're organic beets, I'm sure the color is real because I've grown beets and it looks like it's real. And I grow beets. I love beets. They're good for you. And I grow them organically. So I don't think there's red dye in that one. And if anything is a color that it shouldn't be, then you shouldn't be eating it. But what I find interesting, that this poisoning of the food supply, and David brings this out, he says, the downfall and the corruption from the book of Genesis, the first man and the first woman. He says, a lasting consequence inherited by all of their progeny, down to the present day, centered around their having been seduced into eating the wrong food, in defiance of God's specific command. I understand, I mean, this is a bit of a little stretch, but I get what he's saying. They disobeyed God. And the tripping point here happened to be eating the wrong food. Well, does that apply to us? I mean, Scripture affirms that we are not, what? To defile ourselves with things that, you know, with things that are bad for us, contaminated, adulterated, corrupted, or forbidden, no matter how appealing they may be. Whether it's drugs to get high, whether it's cigarettes, and now I'm talking to myself, too many cheeseburgers. See, I've been thinking I'm fine with all these cheeseburgers, and I love cheeseburgers. And I'm not overweight. And my thought was, well, as long as I'm not overweight, I'm good. But my cholesterol is higher than it should be. I'm not pre-diabetic. But I'm closer to pre-diabetic, and I'm changing my diet. The only thing I'm really missing from a sweet point are freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And then I'm going to eat about 15 of them and have that sustain me for the next 2 months. get take care of it real fast. But, you know, God has given us things to eat and not eat. What did he say? That there were certain clean animals and unclean animals? Unclean and clean foods? And in the New Testament, it makes it clear where God said to Peter, there's no difference between the clean and the unclean here. What I have called clean, don't you call unclean. But, this is for another program, there are foods that God didn't call just clean and unclean in the Old Testament. He called them abominable. And no place in the New Testament do abominable foods appear to have been okayed. That's going to require a little more research on my part. More later. News at 11. God bless you. We'll see you next week when I try to finish this, unless something else trumps it, no pun intended, in which case I'll just have to do it later. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.